we're going to look at verse 8. So many times we focus on the beginning of something, on the beginning of it. And not to take away from the beginning is very important, but it is not more important than the end. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, the Word of God says here, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning." The end of a thing is better than the beginning. There's so many times where we pray, we get right in the middle of a battle, we get right in the middle of a financial problem, we get right in the middle of a family issue, we get into all these things, and we pray, "God, just get me out of it." How many of you ever prayed the "get me out of it" prayer? Amen. Amen. You know what? I stopped praying those prayers because I'm not so concerned about getting out of something as God walking me through it, and so I don't have to go through it ever again. And I encourage you this morning that, you know, if you are right in the middle of something, if something is going on in your life and you're stressed, maybe you're afraid of it, maybe you're sad over it, discouraged about it, worried about it, I encourage you to begin to pray about the end of it. Stop praying those prayers, "God, get me out of it," and say, "God, right now in the name of Jesus, your word says, God, that better is the end. So God, right now I speak to the end and I thank you that it's better. God, however this got started, I thank you that the end of it, Lord, is coming right now. And Lord, I thank you that it's blessed. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning." Amen. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And I encourage you to have the end in mind. Many times we get so caught up in what is going on with whatever it is that's gotten us that we don't even have an end mentality. We have a, "I can live with this, I'll get through" mentality. And God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to thrive even when you're going through hard times. God wants you to thrive even when it's tough on you. The Word says that there will be trials and tribulations in this life, but be of good cheer that He's overcome them. Every single thing, there is a season and a time for everything under the sun, and there is also a time for an end. Whatever you're going through, there is an end to it. There is an expiration date to that. How many of y'all are still blessed to have your mother-in-law in your life? Me too. I love my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's name is Betty, and I call her Miss Betty. And when Frank gets agitated at her, he'll say, "Well, Betty Ann did such and such and such and such." And he calls his mother by his middle name, by her middle name. And he'll say, "Well, Betty Ann." But Betty loves our food ministry. She supports our food ministry. And at times we bring her things. And Betty always asks the same question. Always. And she is a stickler for the expiration date on everything. Now, I don't know what kind of person you are, but look here. How many of you drank those lemonades that we were passing out the other day? And they were little and they were raspberry lemonade. Okay. I think them are going to be in heaven. And I've got some over at the Manna Center, and they're in the refrigerator, and their expiration date is July the 11th, okay? Now, I'm going to be drinking them things. I'm going to give them out to y'all. They were good, weren't they, Marianne? They were delicious. Now, if Betty was here, she wouldn't have it. She wants to know, when is that expiration date? And I always tell her. And there's times where I know she'll like something, and you know what I do, Ashley? I just scratch that thing off of there. Betty's going to have to live a little bit. She's 80-something years old. She just needs to let loose and let God bless her with some... I'm just kidding. But I want to tell you that the thing that you're going through, that's not going to be in your life forever. If you came in here stressed about something, if you came in here thinking, how am I going to make it? What am I going to do? This isn't lasting forever. What you're going through right now, this is called a momentary trouble. A momentary trouble. And you're making it through. And there is a time that that thing that you're facing is going to come to an end. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Why did we go to this verse? Because there is a time for your end. There is a time for your end. There is a time for your end. I believe it is a wise thing for believers to pray, God, put me in your perfect timing. God, put me in your perfect timing. Your perfect timing, God. Sometimes, it's not that you're praying for the wrong thing. It's that it's out of season for you in that moment. Amen? Sometimes it's not that you're praying for the wrong thing. It's just it's out of season for right now. And a delay is not a denial. If God's saying wait, he's not saying no. He's just saying it's not time yet. But there is an end to whatever you face today. There is an end to it. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18. And you know, the devil loves to get people discouraged. And I wish that I could blame everything on the devil. But here's what I have learned. I am 39, and I got saved when I was 7 years old. And I have learned to stop giving the devil credit and glory for things that the devil did not do. And I'd love to say that the devil just discourages us all the time. But what I have found to be more true is we discourage ourselves most of the time. We discourage ourselves most of the time. The devil, we don't even need the devil's help most of the time because we have gotten very good at discouraging ourselves. Now, everybody talks to themselves. I used to say, don't answer yourself back and you'll be okay. But then I started answering myself back and I thought, well, I'm not going to say that anymore. But everybody talks to themselves. You may under your breath say, this is never going to get any better. This is going to always be this way. I'm going to always go through this. This is how this person's always going to be. That person's never going to change. This is never going to happen. You keep saying that and you're prophesying what's going to be happening in your life. If you're telling yourself it's not getting any better, guess what? It's not getting any better. And I remind you that the Word of God tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you recognize that you speak negativity over your life and about your life, I encourage you to take that out and begin to put better things about yourself inside of there. This is getting better all the time. This is going to work out not because of who I am, but because of who I serve. Thank you, God, for a great earthly physician, but God, you are the great physician. So, God, I'm going to stand on your word that says that I'm healed. Lord, my bank statement says this, but God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so because of that, God, all my needs are met. Lord, my grown-up dumb kid is acting up once again. Then, God, I raised him in church. Lord, I did what you told me to do. So, God, I thank you for your word, because your word says that when they are older, they shall not depart. So, God, I thank you for that grown-up kid that you gave me. And, Lord, I thank you that they're getting themselves right on the right path. See, you're telling yourself something. And whatever you're telling yourself, it's going to affect your end. Whatever you're telling yourself, you're affecting your end game here. There have been times where I have been very discouraged about some things. But I have learned to not sit there and think that just because I'm discouraged, that means God's discouraged, because God ain't discouraged about anything. And there have been times where I have had to say, Lord, I know that you know about this problem, and because you know about it, I'm going to stop worrying about it. And God, I don't know how you're going to fix it, but God, I thank you that it's resolved right now. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And I'm going to go back to that verse for a moment in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, because I left out a very important piece, and it says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. And patience, I hate that word. I hate that P word. My kids will come home from school and they say, so-and-so said the S word. And there's so many words now that I'm curious about which S word it is. Because the one I think it is may not be the one that... How many of you know that this generation, they've got a whole other set of words that we know nothing about? I get a good education anytime I pick them up from school. And I thank God on a daily basis that he didn't want me to be a teacher. I'm thankful for the ones we got in this church, but thank God I ain't one of them. No amens on that. Y'all want to teach? No. Or babysit? And patience is better than pride. Patience is better than pride. Patience. Patience is better than pride. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. One of the hardest things to do is to wait. I don't like waiting. Almost every reason why I don't like to go through drive-thrus is because when I know I'm going to go through a drive-thru restaurant, I start thinking about the possibility of maybe having to wait in that line, and it just stresses me out. I hate waiting. I hate even thinking about maybe having to wait. I don't like waiting. Now, the word says don't conform to the pattern of this world. And if we are not careful, we are going to conform to some things that are not biblical. If we are not careful, we will conform to some things that are not biblical. See, this generation and this world that we're living in, it's everything is at your fingertips. And because of that, we have people and they no longer even know how to wait on anything. We have families that there's breakdowns in the family dynamic, and it's because we all have social anxiety because we never talk to people. We just talk to them on our phone. Frank tells me all the time, he'll say, why don't you call so-and-so and tell them blah, 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 blah. We'll be there in 30 minutes. And this is my response. I'll text them. And then he says, why do you do that? And I started thinking about why I did that. And the truth of the matter of why I did that was is because I don't like talking to people on the phone. and I have a confession. Now, I have a Catholic husband, and I am not a Catholic priest, but I've got a confession. There's a lot of days I don't like talking to people. And I text him instead. However, you know how many misunderstandings there have been because of that? See, in order to get the end of that thing, better is the end than the beginning. And you know what? There's times where your very best ending is going to cause you to get up outside of this worldly pattern that we are shoved in all the time, to step up out of that and just to say, God, I want to do your will. God, I don't care what Sally Sue down the street is doing, and I don't care how she's getting by with this or that or the other. You know, there's so many times where we rationalize why we're doing what we're doing, and our rationalization is about other people. Well, I know that this isn't quite right, and I know that the Bible says not to do that, but Brother Angelo over here, he's doing such and such, and he's making it just fine. God ain't struck him dead yet. I'm going to keep doing what I know is wrong. Well, that's not going to cut it. And it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I want to talk to you about your heart this morning. How many of you have been saved for 30 plus years? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have been saved 5 plus years? Been saved at least 5 years. Okay. What I see a lot going on is that Christians right now, for whatever season, people are very tired in every way. And they are very edgy, and they are very short, and people are just tired. And every time something comes along, we just get plumb bent out of shape over it. Do you get bent out of shape every little time something goes not your way? Because see, I know people. And every time something don't just go perfect, I don't even know if God is real. I mean, if God is real, then, and here we go. Well, I don't like what Pastor Kelly preached about. She was preaching about forgiveness, but she don't know what that person did, and how dare her? I'm quitting church. I don't like what the light bill charged me either this month, but I ain't quitting them. And I don't like what Walmart told me my grocery bill was, but I didn't quit them either. When the Word tells us don't lose heart, it tells us that because see, God knew there'd be a lot of folks that they just lost heart all the time. Just losing heart. Man, when something don't go your way, that means God ain't done. God's not finished. Or it may mean that, you know what, it ain't going to go the way that you thought. I had this revelation several years ago when God... I was so brokenhearted, and God came to me and he said, Kelly, you're going to have to mourn over what you thought your life was going to be. See, we get these things in our brain and we think, this is what I want out of life and I want to do this. And I'm just going to keep it real with you this morning. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have children. I wanted a nice home with a white picket fence, cookie cutter life. Just go to church on Sunday and Wednesday and be a good person. And let me tell you that. I had the white picket fence. I had the children. I had to pray them children in. It wasn't easy. And I have gone through some things, and what I've learned is, look here, Jill, I have had to mourn and grieve over what I thought my life was going to be, because one day I woke up and I looked at my life and I said, God, this was not what I expected. And one of the things that's going to get you to the end where it's better than the beginning is just to say, you know what, God, I had some things in mind, but God, my mind isn't as good as yours. So God, right now, I choose your way. God, there may be some things in my life, and they're not what I wanted, but God, you allowed them to come into my life. So God, use those things to perfect that which concerns me. Some of the things that we have to get through is what we thought life was going to be like. There was, how many of you know Beth Moore? I love Beth Moore. I was in a Bible study of hers that she had published probably about 12 years ago, and she told this story, and it's so relevant. Her husband was a pro ball player, and he had a championship ring. And he lost that ring, and he was pretty certain that he lost it outside in a certain spot, but for years he could never find it. And he had some landscaping people over at his house, and they were doing thousands of dollars worth of landscaping. And he said, years ago, I lost my championship ring, and it meant a lot to me. And if you can find it, I'll give you $1,000. I don't know about y'all, but I would get to digging. I'd be like, give me that metal detector. Give me some gloves. I'm going to find that ring. What did you say? You was going to pay me $1,000? I'll do it. Well, they found that ring. And they brought it to him. The lost ring that meant so much. When they brought it to him, he started regretting telling them how much he'd pay. All of a sudden, that so sentimental ring, maybe it didn't mean as much to him as he thought. See, sometimes we lose things and we're so worried about them, and we put such a high value on them that, you know what, if you had that thing back, you wouldn't want it anyways. Hallelujah. Yep. There's times, and I'm just going to chase some squirrels for a minute. One of the most painful things to do at times is to realize that some people, you have to let them go because they ain't in your end game. See, your very best end, it may not have some of the people that you think is going to have in there. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what? Does God have the right take whatever out of your life that doesn't need to be in there? Does he have that permission from you? So therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Light and momentary troubles. Whatever's going on, it's a momentary thing. It's a momentary thing. Momentary. Don't let a momentary thing get in your mind and make you think it's a permanent thing. It's momentary. When it starts getting the better of you in your mind, that's when you need to begin to speak to your mind and say, you know what, mind? The Word says that I have a sound mind. So in Jesus' name, I speak that sound mind over me. I speak the peace of God over my life right now. Lord, I thank you that the end of this thing, it truly is better than the beginning. A few years ago, my mother, she fell in their barn. And that fall caused a lot of damage. And she had two broke wrists. She had a lot of other problems, but she had two broke wrists. And she was very insistent on coming to church still. I'm talking about the same woman that's been healed of cancer. We've seen her go through so many things. And that's why I don't have a lot of slack for people that wake up and say, I don't feel like coming, because you know what? You need to put your feelings to the side and suit up and show up, because, see, church ain't just about you. There's times where somebody's depending on that hug that you're going to give them, that kind word that you're going to give them, that word of advice that you're going to give them. There's times where visitors are going to come in here and they were supposed to sit by you. Well, Mama came up in here. She has come up in here over the past 30-something years with a lot of ailments. But she came up here and she sat right over there. And in praise and worship, she had every reason to not worship God, to not lift her hands, because they were broke. And I looked back there, and here she was, in her cast, raising her hands for Jesus. And I feel sorry for Mama, because I was one of her nurses that helped to take care of her, and I'm a terrible nurse. I mean, you don't want me being your caretaker. Because I'm just not real good at it. And there was another time where I was helping her go to the bathroom. And she had to have help doing everything. You know how humiliating that is? Now I'm going to be raw here. And she started crying. She said, Kelly, God's going to get me out of this, and the lesson that I've learned is I want to serve and not be served. Mama, I believe your end is always going to be phenomenal because of that. See, we are to honor God, but God also honors us. I was in a funeral one time in this church, and I was burying a baby. And it was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do, because this baby lived about 10 hours. And they said, can we have a guest person play the piano? And I said, certainly. So this lady got up there and she started playing the piano, the best piano player I've ever heard in my life. And at that time, I was taking piano lessons as an adult. That was a few years ago. My brain don't work that way. I tried that. I thought, I can preach, and if I can just learn how to play the piano, it won't even matter that I can't sing, because I'll play that piano so good, people won't care about the singing. I can just do it all. Well, that wasn't in God's plans. But this lady, she got up there and she started playing that piano. And I could tell that there was an anointing on her. So So after that funeral, she sat down, and I plopped myself right down there, because you know what? When I can very clearly see that somebody's got an anointing on their life, I want to know all about it. And I plopped down there, and I said, "Tell me how you came to play that piano like you do." She said, "I grew up very poor." And she said, "And I told God as a little poor girl that if he could get me a piano, that I would commit to playing that piano and that I would teach myself." She said, "Somehow or another, my mom and dad ended up with a piano in our home." And she said, "And I began to play that." She don't know how to read music. She just hears something and can play it right off the bat. She said, "I told God I would never play anything that wasn't exalting him." She said, "And God honored that little girl." See, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better is the end. The trouble is momentary. It's momentary. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Go with me now to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and it says here, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." This verse is one of the verses and one of the reasons why we stand every single Sunday morning. I'm going to read that one more time. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith." See, you have access to God. The word says enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, approach him boldly. You have access to God. I was trying to buy a car one time, and the salesman picked up the phone, and I said, "Who are you?" And they said, "Well, I'm the salesman." And I said, "Well, I want to talk to your manager." And they said, "Why?" And I said, "Because you're going to be going back and forth asking them what I'm asking you, and I'd just rather not have that. I just want to talk to them." There's times where Dad will say, "Well, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me that you were struggling?" I told him the other day, I said, "You know what? I can't live off of your faith." I said, "God's got a hold of me, and I got a hold of God. And I'm going to get some things, and they're going to be directly from God." Look here. You want the best ending for your life? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. You best get to talking to him directly. A lot of people say, "Well, hey, will you pray for such and such?" Yes, I will, and thank you. That's an honor that you've asked me to pray. But never ask somebody to pray when you haven't prayed for it yourself. Never ask somebody to pray for something that you ain't already prayed for it yourself. "Will you lay your hands on me and pray that God will heal me?" Yes, I will, but I hope to God that you've laid your hands on yourself and that you've asked God to heal yourself first. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old. And I would listen to my messages for hours. And everybody said, why are you listening to yourself? Aren't you sick of hearing yourself? Yes, I was sick of hearing myself. Still am. Sometimes I get tired of my own voice. I'm like, God, please help everybody that's got to deal with me today. I'm sick of me and they are too. Here we are, Lord. But God began to teach me stuff as I began to hear my own self. You need to hear yourself saying, this is going to end well for me. No, this isn't going to be the end for me. This is getting better right now. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. There's been times where I've said, God, why did you allow somebody to do such and such to me? Only to realize there were some parts of my character that needed to be chipped off a little bit. There have been times where I would say, God, why did you let them do this? And he would say, Kelly, they didn't do it to you. They did it to me. Sometimes by the time people get to the end, they're all bitter up inside. God don't want you at the end bitter. There's people right even in this room, I guarantee you, there's something going on and you're saying, how could they do this to me after all I've done? Look here, don't ever do something for somebody just for your own sake. You got to do that thing and you got to do that for God and nobody else. Look here, if I just did stuff for people all the time, I would have quit a long time ago. I was handing out food one day, and I mean somebody griped me up one end and down the other, up another end and down the other end. And I wanted to open my big fat mouth so bad I couldn't stand it. And I went to open it, and God shut it. And I hate when that happens because, boy, I love to get them. And I said, God, why didn't you let me say something? He said, because Kelly, you need to learn how to keep your mouth shut and let me fight your battles. And the problem is some of us, we say we want God to fight our battles, but we never keep our mouth shut long enough for him to do it. When you want to open your mouth, you start thinking, now how is this going to affect the end? There have been pivotal moments in people's lives, Brother Larry, where I wanted to say something so dang bad. And God would say, Kelly, you're going to either care more about their salvation or you're going to care about getting your last nick in on them. See, because there's sometimes people's lives just hang in the balance on us. Better is the end of a thing, Melissa. Better is the end than the beginning. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. A lot of times our end is messed up because we simply could not let something go. We just couldn't let it go. We just couldn't forgive. We just could not turn the other cheek. How many of y'all know Spirit 106.3? I did TV a little bit with Dave Perdue, and he used to have this thing where he'd let you call in. He probably still does it, and you'd call in, and you could ask for prayer. This was probably about 10 years ago. I was really just having it out with somebody. How many of you just ever had it out with somebody? You just couldn't stand them. This poor lady, she's like, oh, my God, this is a pastor, and she's admitting up to all this stuff. Look here, I've learned when you can just keep it real, you can actually help people. And everybody has people they can't stand. Even a pastor. And I thought, I have already prayed for myself, and this feeling ain't passing. I want to get Dave Perdue on the phone, and I'm going to have him pray for me some deliverance. So I called the radio station, and I said, Dave, this is Kelly. I am having trouble forgiving somebody and just letting it go and loving them. And so help me God. He brought me to this verse, and he says, I'm going to speak Romans chapter 5, verse 5 over your life, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And he said, Pastor Kelly, are you going to go off of God's love, not your own? Well, I didn't like that answer. I wanted something else. That wasn't along the lines. I was wanting him to line up with, it's okay to not like them. So I called back the next day, hoping to get somebody else on the line besides Dave. I need another verse. See, why are we talking about this? Because this is what people actually do. Pastor Kelly didn't tickle my ears today. I'm leaving. The teacher mistreated my kid because she told him to be quiet and look straight ahead. I'm going to talk bad about her on Facebook. Yep. Mm-hmm. See, you better start thinking about your end, because all this stuff that we sow, it's going to come up good things or it's going to come up bad things, and that's just totally up to us. There's been a lot of times our teachers have called me, and they were dreading calling, and I just said, you know what, I can just tell by the way you're describing this, he did it. Don't you worry about it. I'm going to take care of it when he gets home. And thought of my most creative ways to make his life a living, miserable heck hole. You ever tried to match 500 socks and your mama done took the other one out of all of them? I've done that. One time I was really bad when I was a kid, and my mother made Shelly and I get outside all day with a toothbrush and clean the siding on the house. That is in my genetics. So I called the radio station back, and I'll be danged if Dave didn't answer the phone again. And I thought, well, maybe he's going to forget this. I didn't tell him my name. I didn't say nothing, and I tried to talk different than I did the day before. Dave, I'm having trouble loving somebody like Jesus wants me to. I need you to pray for that. He said, ma'am, I've got the perfect verse for you. Write this down. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And ma'am, even though you may not have the love for that person, that's okay. Because see, God has poured it into you. So just begin to pray that love keeps being poured till you can feel it and you can let it out of you for that person. Why are we talking about this? Because despite whatever you're going through right now, God has an impeccable end for you. He has an impeccable end of your actual life, but he has an impeccable end for this battle that you're going through this season. It's not permanent. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The end. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I consider, you know, there's some things in your situation that you haven't considered yet, and God says, you need to ask me, and I'm going to show you some things that you have not considered about what you're going through. But I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Whatever you're going through right now isn't even worth comparing to what's there for you on the other side of it. Don't lose heart. Don't let the devil or yourself get the better of you. God's going to see you through to the very end of that thing. To the very end. I've tried to sell a house for like a year and a half now. And boy, have I learned some lessons in that year and a half. But one thing that I told myself continually, Dwayne, is it's not a matter of if it sells. It's already done. It's already done. Lord, I thank you for that family that's going to be up in here, in that house. God, I thank you right now that it's a blessing to them. There'd be times where I'd say, oh my God, I'm so sick of this. When are you going to get this house sold, Lord? And then I'd meet more people. I'd have people in there looking at the house, and I'd say, well, just sit down, we're on the couch, and I'd just start talking to them. Better is the end. Better is the end. There's been days where this church needed me to be in here working on it, and so did that house, and guess what I picked? God's house. Well, I done accepted an offer on that thing. In about 2 weeks, I ain't going to be the owner of it anymore. Amen. But I haven't spent any time thinking, well, God, I guess you're not going to do it. You know what I've been doing? Working. On everything. Building his house. Building his house. When I get real good and depressed about it, sometimes I'd look on the Facebook or look on Ashley Furniture, and I'd just start looking at what furniture I want to have up in my new place. Because look here, devil, it don't matter what's going on with the big house. I ain't living there no more, and that's the end of it. God's going to sell that thing, and that's it. And if I want a white picket fence on the new place, I'll have it. But you know what I've learned? I don't want that. And you know why? Because them things are more trouble than what they are worth. Because they get dirty more than anything I've ever seen. But better is the end. Last place for me this morning, Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. You know, last night I said, Lord, more than anything else, what do you want your kids to hear from you tomorrow? And he brought me to this verse. And in the million things that just flows in your mind and gets you concerned and gets you this and gets you that, I want to draw you back to the promise that God has for you. I said, what do you want me to tell them? He says, tell the righteous it will be well with them. Tell the righteous it will be well with them. It don't matter what you're going through. If you're in a good season right now and you get over on the other side and then there's a battle right there, it's going to be well with you. If you're in the best season of your life, it's going to be well with you. If you're in the worst one of your life, it's going to be well with you. You've got to make that decision that it is well with me. It's well with me, not because everything is going right, not because I don't have problems, but because God said in his word that because I'm righteous, it's going to go well with me. And that's a promise that you can stand on. You can believe it. You can build your whole life around that promise. Every time that you face something difficult and you're a righteous person, line yourself up with the word of God and say over and over, the righteous, it's well with me, God. It's well with me. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. God loves you in here. If you don't hear anything else that was said, I want you to walk out of here saying, it's well. It's well. I'm not going to fake it till I make it. It's well. It's well. You cannot afford the luxury of negative thinking. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for every single person that's in here today. God, I thank you, Lord, that what's not well, you're turning it around. And Lord, you are making it well within them, within their problem. God, you haven't brought them this far for them to fail now. So Lord, I thank you that better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And Lord, I ask that you'd renew each person, restore each person, bless each person, protect each person, God. Lord, help us to live this out today. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope to see you at 5:30 this morning. We are going to get some things out of the refrigerators and the freezers. We're going to give food away. If you can give us about 3 minutes. And Bobby, if you can help me get it out.